If I were to ask you what your philosophy of life or your creed, what would that be?
Have a good time all the time.
A podcast has changed my life.
Shine, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be back.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny!
Yeah.
Let's do a little intro before Saran gets here. Tom, because quite often we have guests on this show and we never set it up. I've had talked to people who listen. They love the show.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And they often say.
I've talked to people too.
Did they like the show?
They didn't mention it.
They didn't bring it up. But they say, how do you know all these people? Where did they come from? When did you first meet Saran? I'm interviewing you now.
Oh, okay, about me. I thought these were the people that you were talking to, asking you. When did I first meet Saran? I met him on the comedy circuit, which okay. I think answers that question for most people that we've spoken to. I think there's a chance I met him in Melbourne. Did you meet him in Melbourne? You used to live in Melbourne.
I think I don't remember the first time I met him. I've come in hard with this question. I don't remember. Maybe Melbourne, but he and I didn't live in Melbourne at the same time.
He moved up here.
He moved up here for love.
Right. And I think I remember, actually, where I met him. I think I was doing Quest for the Best, which was a Sydney comedy competition in a pub. And his girlfriend, Imo.
A wine dealer.
Yeah. Or like involved in the marketing of wine or actually the dealer herself.
Always traveling.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is she
Very
does.
Nice taste and stuff. Knows a lot about the finer things in life.
Dream girlfriend.
I wonder if, does he get to go on the trips? We'd have to ask him about the perks.
Once I was at Splendor and he was just in the artist bar up the top not performing. And I'm like, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, Imo's plus one.
Getting through the wine. Like you're there through the entertainment. He's getting in.
He's getting through
the back.
Get out of here, Saran.
Get involved.
We're in. We're talking about.
We're talking about how when we first met you.
Yeah, right.
Which is, you know, that you're the topic of the hour, given you're the guest here.
There you go.
I think it was
speaking to that.
Well, I feel like more generally how we know people is, and why it's sometimes difficult to remember, is because you just start kind of someone shows up and you might do a show at a pub with them or something, and then you have a bit of a chat to them, but it's nothing serious, and then you just kind of. That happens more regularly and then you just kind of get to know people. And so it's difficult to remember exactly the first time.
Yes.
But I feel like Quest for the Best, you and Imo were doing it at the
did
same Imo time.
Did Imo do stand-up?
Yeah.
Yeah. We met at Raw Comedy.
You're kidding.
Yeah. In Melbourne, though.
I always thought, I was like, Saran's done it. He's got a girl out of the world of comedy.
Yeah.
And here I find out you're just no better than me, who's dated within the comedy scene.
It's a horrible story, actually. It's in the context of Me Too and everything. I dated a comedian and then she gave up comedy so that I could continue.
Yes, I love that. Was that the conversation? Was she like, you're better?
No, she just didn't like it. And she
or I'm better at making money outside.
Yeah. She's got the best job. I would kill to have her job.
Her job was, she was just like, I don't have time to go hang out at open mics.
But you also had like an unreal job. And you just gave it all up.
I've been thinking a lot about that this last 6 months.
Yeah,
that's exactly. All I've been thinking about. But thanks for the reminder. I wouldn't have gone to the toilet, by the way, if I knew that you were going to just talk about me.
We never do this, by the way.
But it's great. I like it.
Well, we realize we never, I suppose we don't really contextualize how we know people, which I would argue, I think it is nice. I feel like it can be overly formal particularly to structure every episode in the same way.
Totally.
But I think giving a bit of context never hurt anyone. But did you actually have a conversation about, like, you will, or did she just kind of lose interest in it and then?
Yeah, it was less about, like, her. My decision had nothing to do with her.
Yeah. It wasn't a couple's kind of.
No.
Because I feel like you hadn't been going out for long enough for that to be a.
No, I think
that
she
sounds
just,
like a husband and wife 10 years in.
Absolutely.
Like a shared decision.
Exactly.
It's not about whether you're going to go in Quest for the Best in 2014.
Well,
after your success the year before.
I actually don't remember how many gigs she would have done up here.
Mm.
But there was Quest for the Best. I don't think that's where we met. I reckon it was that other thing.
Short and sharp.
What was Short and Sharp? This is before my time.
Yeah,
or maybe I was in Melbourne.
Oh, my Lord. To be booked for Short and Sharp, it was a big honour.
I reckon we overlap, or like
I
left
Melbourne
as you started there.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know who you were for the first 2 years of your
dude. A lot of comedy bookers didn't either.
Yeah, yeah. That was my favorite thing.
He's pretty sharp, but he's not short. This guy's too tall to do it.
So because now we're talking about it, how we met, and Tom's still, he's like, let's go back to short and sharp.
Short and sharp. What was short and sharp? Because I don't remember when we met.
That is not what I was meaning to do, but I understand how it came across that way, and maybe that's what was going on subconsciously.
I remember just always being friends. I can't remember meeting though.
I reckon what solidified the friend, and is this interesting to anyway?
Yes. No, it is what? So interesting. It was it's like interesting to me.
The Sydney Bulldogs grand final where we'd set up in the car park.
Yes.
And maybe
because I was still living in Melbourne. I was living with Huey about 500 metres from the MCG.
And Huey was like passing out bottles of water or something.
He was working promo at the AFL grand final.
Really?
I had a ticket because, so this is 2016. Swans played Western Bulldogs, and it was like, they never had it. It was like history had already been written before the game started. They could never win because Bulldogs were on this incredible run.
Mm.
They hadn't won it in, 60 years or whatever. And Soren, you invited me to, because you're an AFL member.
MCC member.
That's right. Better.
Which is better. It so is. Better. It's gold.
What do you mean? What does that entitle you to?
Melbourne Cricket Club.
It's very exclusive.
I would say it's one of the most elite memberships on offer in terms of sport in Australia.
Really?
And so I can go to every AFL grand final. What in the mean? Members and the Boxing Day test.
And you can go to like the, and you have a seat.
Have a seat. You just like own a seat you own at a the seat. MCG.
Okay, right.
Pretty much. You don't. It's not the same seat every time, but you get a guaranteed entry.
Are you in the same kind of, because I went once with someone and they like knew the people sitting near them. Like, is there a sense of community?
There is a sense of community. But it's hard to tell if that's from the MCC or from other existing like, networks.
Yeah,
it's
structures like of like school. Finance.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's me. You guys seem to be getting on a lot of house on
well,
fire.
Well, that's the thing. I went,
ask why exactly? Is this MCC based?
And it is like half the reason, it's like the capacity of the MCG is 100,000.
Mm.
And a lot of the time on these huge games, there's only 95,000 there. And you're like, why the fuck is there only 95,000? It's because 5,000 of the members don't turn up.
Don't even bother. And they can.
They could, yeah.
And then how did you get access to this elite?
It's like a 20-year waiting list.
Good parents put their kids on early.
Yeah. I don't know how my dad knew to, but I think one of his colleagues when he had his... my eldest brother was born. One of his colleagues was like, "Oh, you got to get him on the MCC."
Totally.
And I just benefited from that. So I think I got it before a lot of my friends who are in these networks of
Because I met it was like a real private school boy.
Yeah. Just a preparatory
We're like kicking
father.
The footy in the park. They've parked in like next to the MCG in the park. Have you been there, Tom?
The MCG.
There's like parklands.
I think
around
I went
it.
To an Anzac Day test.
Yeah.
Or not test.
But to the football match. Collingwood Essendon.
Yeah. I don't know. Sorry,
it was great vibe in there.
Yeah.
It was big.
Yeah. That's 90, yeah. So 95.
But you
had
parked. You were like 80 metres from the MCG.
Just
parked out the front.
Grand final day. It's not allowed anymore because of terror threats, I think. They don't let cars go into the...
Oh.
But we basically inspired by the American... You know, the NFL, they could do the tailgating.
It's exactly what it was. One of your mates was cooking a barbie, or it might have been you.
Yeah, we had a barbecue going.
Drinking beers.
We had beers. And it was
Jay Morrissey came down.
Jay was there? Yeah. Because his brother was singing.
Did I get invited through Jay?
Yeah, you got a ticket through Jay because his brother was singing at the grand final.
Yeah, he plays with Vance Joy. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Whoa. 2016. This is the same way, like we were talking about, I think, before you got here.
It's much more interesting than short and sharp.
Fuck you, dude.
Yeah, whatever your little origin story, it's fucking lame, Tom. I hung out with lawyers at the MCG.
Yeah, it was at Factory Theatre, and I think I remember having a pretty good set. I think, it was no grand final. But, I think we were talking before you got here about you went to a Splendor in the Grass once, and you were there through Imo because she got free tickets or something.
Yeah, she.
And he just had me on the shoulder. Like I didn't even. It was probably day three. I don't know how long you've been there.
That's similar to you being at you were at the grand final through the performer.
Absolutely.
As in, like the singer, the singer's brother's mate or something, and then you're there through a different. Like there's different means to get in.
It was random. I felt like everyone was like, "What are you doing here?" kind of thing. It was
weird about me
to insert myself. No, I appeared at Splendor.
Oh no, but you ended up doing a spot. I think.
Yeah, because you left, didn't you? Didn't you have to go?
I think I might have
left before Kendrick Lamar performed. which was the
that's like there the was, members not going to the grand final.
Exactly. Totally. You got a seat, man. You got a seat there. Why are you
leaving? No, I might have had to fly to Edinburgh or something. Sure. I used to be quite busy before COVID. I was looking back at my diary before COVID about all the stuff. Like,
oh, that's healthy.
Now I just like read books.
Just going back a year in your calendar and looking at how many little things there are.
But I remember like, I had to leave before Ken. So you did my spot?
I think so. And I just remember that day there was the gig was pretty lukewarm or pretty shit.
I mean, that Sunday show's never red hot there.
But there was so much anticipation about Kendrick coming on. No one wanted to be there. The comedians didn't want to be on.
Were you competing with Kendrick?
No, but it was like an hour before he's
there. Oh, you got to get there early and you got to, set up.
I remember, might have been I only went 2 days last year. I just popped in to do the comedy and came out. But I remember the Saturday, hosting the Saturday show at like 5 o'clock and competing with Gang of Youths on the main stage. And they, I think, were just like...
I thought they were all in the front row.
But they were...
What is this, the band Gang of Youths?
I mean, I wish I had that. That might have got the gig cracking.
Exactly.
But just hearing them destroy on the main stage, because the stage is pretty close. Yeah. And it's just like cheering and...
You can hear everything.
And like I was... the only people there on a Saturday are just like munted. They've fallen in. They're just walking past and they need a seat and they sit in there and you're just like trying to chat to them.
I feel like I saw once... I've never performed at Splendid in the Glass, but I think I went to that and Falls and watched the comedy and it was like mainly... Particularly when it was during the day, I think there's like a few different sets. But it was like everyone was just... Had a big night before.
Yeah.
And it was like literally coming down off MDMA.
It's just a shady space.
Barely with their eyes open, just watching people like flail. So bad. Kind of... And they're too far away and everything.
Except for Huey. Huey would always destroy.
It's Huey's element. Zoom or like Splendor in the Grass, doesn't matter. I did Falls once.
This is why you just need specific material for the venue. This is why the Gang of Youths joke would have been.
You should get books. Yeah, you're ready to roll.
Yeah. Any bookers listening?
Gang of Youths.
I mean, we all know the booker. We can all. If Splendor ever happens,
I have like a relationship with Gang of Youths where it's like I get them booked, man, because I get big laughs.
Even though you could just use any band name, whoever.
What do you mean? I could use any band? No, I couldn't.
No, you could. That's quite an adaptable.
No, you could. You could be like, look at you.
Specific meaning.
Are you a June Rat
in the front row?
Okay, all right, I'm back in.
You could do it.
No, that's true.
Have you ever done Woodford Folk Festival?
No. Have you done it?
It's the reverse of all these other
festivals.
I think
it would be quite good.
Where the comedy tent is the main thing.
No.
And it's not.
It's like, I don't know, it'd be like
Jack Johnson
or something, like surely.
Yeah, obviously there's the...
Angus and Julius Stone are surely there as well.
Well, I mean, it's like New Year's Eve is the main night and so like everyone goes to the big amphitheatre.
I've been to that amphitheatre. 1 year the Splendor was there.
Yeah, the amphitheatre is fucking amazing. Yeah.
The craziest thing
it's like naturally formed. It's an amphitheatre, but it's like...
It's like one side of the MCG.
Cavemen were doing spots back
they were the yeah. Dude, they would have been.
What is this, Gang of Youths down the front? They still had the same
these
jokes.
Acoustics are, yeah. But the comedy the rest of the time it's like 600 people
and it's really going, good
yeah because the parents are hanging. It's like a family vibe festival. So during the day the parents are entertaining their kids.
I would like to do it. Put and it's over New Year's
because
so I would like...
It's like every day you're waking up at 5 a.m. because the sun's
being are you in a tent?
Ugh. Well, you can glamp if you want.
That's the whole point of all this festival.
No,
where
but
did
it's
you stay
hard.
In Splendor? Were you busting
in the
in and out?
Tents,
but they're nice.
But they're nicer, and it's winter.
Did you get to talk to any? Because I can't really picture these festivals when you perform at them. Presumably, a backstage and some sort of backstage, you kind of walk around area where there's lots of producers and lots of different people that are working on the festival. But then every now and then there's like a guy from the Wombats or something.
Pretty
it's
much.
Like, did you ever get to talk to some of the famous people back there?
Well, kind of. So the Splendor setup, I've done Falls, which is very different where you're just in with all the music artists because it's like a smaller festival, but you go from each festival to, because it's different sites all around the country. So it's like you end up going to 4 different states in like 5 days or whatever. But Splendor is like, there's the main backstage bit behind the big amphitheater stage and everyone is kind of there and then just back a little bit down the road. It makes sense if you're walking as a punter towards the amphitheater. There's the forum, which is where all the comedy is. And then, I don't know, it's probably to their detriment, But there's like a backstage bit again for the forum that we get. We could go into the other bit as well and hang out. Mm. But then all the comedians just stay and they pretty much have their own...
little bit.
Their own little bit. So but no then it's like, up? But it's only them and then it's like, because I do Q&A every day.
Oh,
so it'll be like there and then it's like Anthony Albanese was there. Huey's got a famous story of having to follow Anthony Albanese into the cubicle after and he just done like the crazy
shit.
It's like,
mate, come on. If you can't follow Albo, you should probably quit.
Albo's a pretty funny guy. You know, he's sold to the earth. He's from the Western Suburbs, recently divorced. He's got something to say.
Massive shit.
Buzz.
But yeah, Huey had to follow him after he did a big shit and Albo came out and he's like, sorry, mate.
You just lost a voter.
Yeah.
I'm voting for the Liberal Party now.
Exactly.
They, you get politicians...
polled in pre-polling. It's like, why are you voting Liberal? Oh.
You know, it's no, personal.
You're going to have to write up a little new box, I reckon. I'm not going to be one of the top four.
Politicians always want to, you know, John Howard's like one of the most elite dudes, but he always painted himself as like a man of the people. There's no way being a man of the people more than like letting people come into the cubicle after you.
Well,
you know?
I suppose, and that's
I'm just winning a vote at a urinal with my pants down. Like
Kevin Rudd kind of won off the back of, not because of, but he got done at the strippers before in 07.
It's humanising.
And totally. It was humanising, particularly because he seemed like a pretty big dweeb, and I think that's kind of what we
absolutely
needed. Maybe Albo runs on a bit of already like a bit of a normal guy. So like,
that's
you know,
already
too
his,
normal. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like there'd he be a
was,
level of.
He was at the pub the other day playing pool in Sydney. All these photos went around. Like,
see,
he's a normal
dude. Yeah, yeah. But
he
it's
shits,
also
man.
Probably
he's,
his.
He shits. He does shit.
It's weird to think of people shitting, like Barack Obama.
I remember when I was an accountant.
I can think of Trump shitting. I can imagine that.
He would have been shitting.
I reckon every time he fires off a few tweets, he's doing a shit.
Yeah, I take my phone in the toilet with me.
I do it as well. I've had some accidents. I've dropped my phone in the urinal and then accidentally pissed on it trying to pick it up.
Wait. What? Hang on.
Texting at the urinal.
You're, yeah, but you're pissing as you're trying to pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm still...
Stop pissing before the hand goes
down. No. I've gone, oh, shit, dropped it in. Yes. And my first reaction is just to reach down and pick it up.
Oh,
and then try,
totally.
And then couldn't
really stop the stream. Yeah,
and then piss went onto the phone.
Oh, my God. You know, if that happens, you're supposed to eat rice and then after 24 hours shit on your phone. That helps, apparently. I just skimmed the article, but I think that helps.
I think that's right. I did Falls Festival once, Tasmania, at 11:30. So it was like the first... and
AM?
AM, yeah. Oh. No, I was headlining. I was headlining that year.
That's one of those times where it's ambiguous. It's always good, but it could be the other like, 12 hours away.
But there was no one there. I had to go on first, and there was no one. It was in the main amphitheatre at Marion Bay. And there was just no one. And it was kind of sleet, bit of rain the second day.
Yeah.
Everyone was hungover. And it was like, I went out and had to do like, I was on the thing being like, the comedy started, like yelling.
Yeah.
And then.
Are there people in the distance like having a
goslin? So people are like, it's, you know, getting the Nemo Schnitzel or whatever they
totally.
Have at all these festivals. And
someone's trying on a dress.
And you see people kind of running in. Because it's the ambient, like, and they're just seeing me and it's not that appealing.
Oh.
So people start to sit down and like. By the Ursula closed, and by the end there was probably like 5,000 people there. But for my 20 minutes, I don't reckon it got
20
above
minutes.
40 Jesus. Or 50, and I'm just on the main stage.
Yeah. I saw it at Falls once, maybe. I think I saw Quirk, David Quirk, very funny guy.
Yeah.
Like years ago, I think I would have been like 22, 23. I went down to Marion Bay and went to the festival, and the comedy was on.
Man, it's a beautiful spot, huh?
Oh, it was lovely.
I couldn't believe it.
Oh, and you walked down to the beach. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But it was just in some big natural amphitheater, which kind of like crept up. The hill was quite kind of not very steep and went for ages. And like people were sitting in the shade because it was daytime and outdoors, literally, I would say a kilometer away.
No,
from the
a kilometer.
Oh, I mean, or 800 meters or something. It's like so far. There were just wherever there were trees, like the furthest you can get away and still see. There were like clumps of people.
Oh my
god!
And
so like, there's just absolutely like comedians. You just want a bit of laughter back to kind of put
you
your
don't
pep
get
in
it.
Your step and kind of you know make you feel like you're getting laughed. Like the sound would take a few seconds to travel that far. Let alone like you can't see. You're just looking at a little speck. I was about 700 meters away, I reckon.
700.
I liked comedy. I'm like, give him a break, guys. Like, you can kind of barely see him.
I did this one in Canberra for the Flower Festival, and I've never had a good outside gig.
Flower Festival.
It's a big flower. It's a flower. It's called Floriade in Canberra.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Yeah, they have a big comedy gig there, and it's like outside and stuff. I did it last year. I've never had a good gig outside.
If it's a flower festival at night. The interest people have in flowers drops significantly.
Oh, yeah.
It's very
you
visual
can't see
medium.
The flowers.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, yeah, I suppose they're pretty good.
I did it and maybe who was on? Early on it was like me and Guy, Becky as well. So there was three of us and we all came off being like, we were like quite supportive. We were all just like, yeah, good stuff. Like, you know, you just got to do it. We all did like 15 minutes or whatever. And it's like outdoor. There's probably 1,000 people there, but it's like you can't tell what's going on. There's kids running around. There's a Dagwood dog van in the back that's just like lit up. Mm. And then Husey was closing. And then like Husey went up and like we were just like, before he went on, we were just like, mate, it's just, you know, it's an outdoor gig. You can't hear anything.
You can't do much.
He gets out and he's like, I'm the host of The Masked Singer. And then it's just like destruction from there. People are just like tuned in listening. He's killing so hard.
Yeah, remember we did that kids gig with him.
That was
filmed.
I'm glad you're here. Literally brought this up on the last podcast.
Yeah, oh, really?
Totally.
Because remember Husey, you don't remember this, but you're on stage. Husey's freaking out. And Husey's like, he's flatlining. Talking about you. He goes, he's flatlining. He's like, get me on. He's flatlining. And then Husey went up and then did good because they all knew who he was.
He destroyed.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And you didn't know
now
that?
I regret bringing it up.
Well, I mean, if you're an avid listener.
Because it's an unfair.
You would be waiting for us to bring it up. You would have been like, are they going to talk about it? God. This is the elephant in the room.
What's the elephant? Is this why you brought me in? It's an unfair position to be in where I think it was the first time I'd ever done a gig with Husey.
And
it's in front of kids, you know? Like, this is not. But
no, totally.
That's his impression.
If it makes you feel better, I did worse than you at that gig.
It was pretty hard.
It was as hard as comedy could get.
Wasn't he as well?
He was nervous.
He was real nervous.
He
and
was
that's
so
why
nervous.
He was like, please, because he wanted you off, didn't you? What he saying?
He wanted him off because he wanted just to get on and get it
he
over.
He didn't
want
to. He was out of nerves that Husey was saying
but
this
I thought,
himself, so he'd understand.
Like he thought that I could tank it even further, and then they would be unwinnable.
I can't remember.
There's
no winnable. There's no unwinnable.
I think you can get kids down to a point where they're like, fuck this.
If they're not fidgeting, you've done well. That's
yeah.
All that
yeah.
Is.
Also, I mean, I love that kind of where any performer, I feel like I like the rationale that you sometimes people start saying things like, yeah, like you at the Floriade gig. Like, yeah, I mean, you know, laughs are kind of overrated.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a lot of glints in the eyes of the audience.
I saw a lot of
if they're not fidgeting, that actually means it's a 7 out of 10. It's like, this seems like a lot of rationalizing happening back here.
I think I did. I started my set with a callback to one of the other.
Oh,
really?
One of the other
acts.
They
wouldn't get that.
They don't know what callbacks are. And also, for some reason, they edited that in. So it just starts with me referencing.
Oh, man. I watched my set once. I was just watching TV. And I flicked through the channels and it was on and I watched it and it was horrifying.
It's terrible.
Like, there wasn't a single laugh. It was like me. And then the only kind of reaction I got was when I asked questions. And got them to scream out. Like, that's the only reaction from the crowd I got.
So
otherwise, absolute silence.
When was it on TV? Was it children's television again?
Yeah, 11:30.
Yeah, ABC Kids during the day.
But they just haven't... Can I ask you, how much time did you invest in preparing a children-friendly set?
I think it was... I did it on a Saturday morning. They might have asked me on the Tuesday. And I did it because I think it was
$1,800. Oh,
wasn't it that much? 100. You got paid
100.
Might have been 800. Yeah, maybe that makes more sense.
Yeah.
It was 800, and it was also the first time I'd ever done anything filmed. So I was like,
oh my God. Fuck that.
So you're meeting Husey for the first time and getting filmed doing kids' comedy. Look, you didn't bomb. I mean, we both bombed.
I did okay. I mean, I flatlined, but it was.
Well, that's what I was saying last time. It's the word flatline. I'd never heard that used in it. Like, that's old. That's like
that's
80s
medical
comedy.
Term.
Yeah. It's a bit arrogant of comedians to start using medical
I like
terms,
it. I think it's a great term. But I don't think you were flatlining. I think you were doing fine for the situation.
Mm.
Thank you.
But then, I mean, similar to what you're saying with the Floriade thing, I suppose Husey has higher expectations for the show and for himself, because when he walks out, everyone's like, ah.
He's
like,
actually a cartoon character.
That's some of the most fun I've ever had is like when you're hosting, and which has happened a few times, and then he drops in whether it's at the store or somewhere else. And you get to be like, hey, everyone, guess what? Sometimes we get celebrity drop-ins, and you get to say Hughesy, and everyone's like, no. Everyone's like a little dog. It can't be real. Can I hear them at the front door? And then Hughesy appears. Everyone's, then it goes up another level. It's Hughesy. Like, that's what he's used to. That's his norm whenever he walks into any room.
Yeah. Totally. Maybe
that's why he was nervous. Maybe he was worried that
he wouldn't get it.
But he did totally, that eventually they won't stuff. And
he did a joke that was 20 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to go back.
But the kids
in time
are only five. They wouldn't know it.
Yeah, exactly. They're not going through the galas, previous galas.
Exactly. Oh, man. So that joke is of age. Yeah. That's not even a child.
They wouldn't even know what Snakes Alive is. You know that thing about bringing the... I think I did or Cambo did at the show that we now run, Tom, at the Gladstone. Ronnie did a spot.
Yes.
And he shouldn't have even been in Australia. And then, like,
what do you mean?
Because it was like COVID times. He's apparently on the Daily Show. He's just stuck during COVID.
Yeah, okay. As in he didn't want to be.
He was filming a Marvel movie or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the crowd just didn't care that much at all.
No.
Cambo might have brought him to the stage and was
it
like...
It was actually a recent decision by you, the room runner, along with Cambo, to make that show a competition.
It was
and
a
everyone
competition,
everyone at the end voted. I also performed that. I won. I beat Ronnie.
You beat Ronnie Jones.
Proof was actually in the pudding. Let's be specific about
it. You should email Trevor Noah and just say, I've got the stats to prove that I'm better than Ronnie Chang.
Hello, Trevor. I don't know if you're familiar with how we judge comedy here, but there's actually on the Lord Gladstone Hotel, there's a bit of a leaderboard. And you
there's
can
a
see
marble system.
I'm at number three now after Cameron Duggan and someone else at number two. But Ronnie, nowhere to be seen. So consider me.
He didn't do well. I mean, he did great in the room, but like... In the rankings, we got the crowd to rank. We don't do it anymore, Saran.
I've participated in one of these rankings, but I was on first, I think.
I think you did okay.
There's lots of different factors to it, but I think we did learn from the data of a few things. And I think a good example would be if you're a celebrity. I think part of why I did well, for example, is if I had to say, partly because I think I was just before a break, so it kind of invites reflection. Immediately after, but I think I was after Ronnie as well, which also helps because people go, "Ooh, celebrity," Australians particularly, but most cultures I think are a bit like, "Oh, here we go." You've got to be pretty good to get that a vote. I think people would have known, "Is this marble really going to help Ronnie?" You know what I mean? Like, he's not really going to care.
He doesn't need the marble.
He's got marble. He doesn't need marble. Yeah.
He would have wanted marble. Like, he would love to hear this that he didn't do well in the marbled. I still think this would annoy him.
Oh, totally. I think he's a competitive guy. He would care, but can I say, I don't think it's going to affect his life.
I think if he was winning,
he wouldn't be talking about it 3 months after it happened like we are right now.
I think Netflix is in discussions for a second special, and they're like, so let's talk about this Lord Gladstone here.
Apparently, it's part of the Marvel Universe? We're like, yeah. It's actually central to the Marvel Universe. There's lots of different iterations of it. We've done it a number of times, but this was actually the first iteration, series one.
But no, he's a great act. But my point was that the crowd didn't give him much because it was kind of a cool young crowd, and I think they didn't want to be like, you know, fanatic about the big act.
So you think that they were enjoying it in there? So this is more rationalizing. They were like, oh, the joy in their hearts, my God! But they didn't want it. They were too cool to reveal the laughter.
They're the type of people that want to discover something. They don't want to throw their vote behind.
That is so true.
Know, the
Sorry.
Biggest. Act.
I think there's psychology like that. That's part of it. But I also think you wouldn't necessarily... I think we also found the lack of a correlation between... Because I feel like comedians are very focused on how many laughs someone gets. Like, it's already been kind of inherent in some of the conversations we've been having.
No fidgeting.
I want like a forehead to move up. That's all I'm looking for.
Right, okay. We've all got our different little metrics. But they're even all of those are very kind of based on the reactions in the moment, very kind of immediate reactions. And you judge based on during the performance, you're kind of monitoring all of that. And then you come off and you're like, oh, that went well or bad based on that. But the marbles was like later upon reflection, who did I like? You know what I mean? Which didn't always match up with who got the most laughs, for example.
Yeah.
So I
that
feel
is
like
true.
Things that was another learning.
For example, Tom won and, you know, did terribly in the room.
No, I was actually one of the rare cases which got the most laughs and won the competition. But I think
Tom
was...
did. That
but,
is true.
And you, but you were also one of the rare cases that like petitioned. Like you were campaigning.
He did as well, yeah. He had
this is the thing.
Yeah, he was on the Trump-style election campaign.
I think I brought a certain desperateness that Ronnie Chang
Well, Ronnie Chang didn't even know there was a competition.
Well, exactly. So I think he, I feel like quite rightly, the people in the audience knew that it wouldn't, he wouldn't give a shit, whereas I begged. So, so that's how you win.
That is how you
do it. Did you describe that as Trump-esque?
I think it is Trump-esque, yeah. Doing anything funny to try to get the win. Did you see, I think I showed you, Tom, that that picture that he tweeted today about Biden?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. God, that guy's funny.
I haven't. What's the picture?
The picture is he.
The word president.
And then yeah,
with
and
the letter P removed. So just picture in their head what word that would reveal. Yeah. And then there was an image of lots of old people in a, like an old people's home. So implying he was a resident of an old people's home, and it's so funny for like a 74-year-old to call a 77-year-old old. He's so like good. You old fuck. It's but like, that I mean,
you both should be in there.
But he's more vibrant, I feel like. Trump does feel, even only like a week after getting COVID, he's like dancing around now.
He's on a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But was it a comparison? Was it like a president in one tile and then the next tile was it like president or resident?
No, it was like president just across the top of like a poster with the P crossed out.
The P's crossed
so
out.
It just says like resident.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
It's
that's
pretty
good.
Funny. That's funny. Like he might have a rider or something at the moment.
I mean, he definitely has a writer. He's not writing gags.
Imagine if
he's
you
just,
got
he just retweets everything.
If you got hired to be Trump's joke writer, like that would cause like it's a big thing if you get hired to write for the what is it the president's the White House?
Yeah, the press conference.
What you, to do the comedy there?
No, you do comedy or you write for the president. Because remember Obama? Obama was killing.
He had a bunch of Daily Show writers. I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So imagine that getting would be good. Who takes the job writing for
at
Trump?
At the end, it's like, oh my god, I think you're gonna have to drop the mic, Obama. I think it's gonna be fucking funny. You're gonna drop the mic. All right, it'd be good to try and write a joke that incorporates kind of promoting you in some way. So you'd be like, oh my god, I've done so well in this last term. It's like my dick's almost as big as Tom Cashman's.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, well, I
who's
get
Tom
it.
Cashman?
Like, just to clarify that last joke, Tom Cashman is a guy who's one of the writers, famously amongst the cool scene, has a big penis. So, I mean, this would less be comedy and more a bit of a speech.
He would just be reading be cool straight off the auto cue, you know? So you could get away with it, I think.
Oh, you reckon just late.
Address to the nation. He's like,
late edits.
We need to come together.
Well, if you had
the
that
economy is stronger than ever. It's stronger than Tom Cashman's hard erect penis.
What would you do? So let's say you have control over the auto cue at, let's say, a Trump rally because he's currently the most powerful person in the world and he's doing a rally tomorrow and you are there, you've somehow hacked in and you can type anything and he'll realize pretty soon. So you only get like a few sentences before he realizes. What are you typing?
I reckon some funny stuff. I'm not going to make it serious. I would never be like, I wouldn't make him flip on his political values, but I would just try to get him to do more funny stuff.
Like what?
Maybe like
attempt backflip in brackets.
I mean, that would be pretty good.
And then he just kills himself, snaps his neck.
It goes, like, right now, America, I'm going to try to do a backflip. And then it would just have instructions like Donald
now
Trump performs backflip.
Or maybe forward roll is funnier. And more
a forward
doable.
Roll, yeah. I don't think he could forward roll because I don't know if you saw
he
that.
He could try.
The image of his backside, his ass, is so big. It's like he's got like a big booty. A forward roll would be so
difficult.
I think
that would help in the momentum.
Wouldn't it hit and stop? Once you
under. He might peak halfway through the roll.
You know what? I've been doing a joke about Trump dying of COVID would be a very funny way for him to die. Mm. But a funnier way would him snapping his neck doing a forward roll.
Because you've hacked into his auto cue.
Would you go down for assassination? Like all the other assassinations previously have been like guns, but this would be a very weird assassination it's like convincing someone with an IQ of lower than 80, which is probably technically murder, to do something that
you're
under
my
achieve.
Only crime is trying to get a laugh.
Exactly. You'd have to go to court being like, the intention was not to kill the president. The intention was that it was funny.
Well, surely if the president dies that way, they should be like, oh, play on, he wasn't the right man for the job.
Yeah.
That's the threshold for president. Yeah.
The prosecution has to prove that he has an IQ of 80.
Yeah. He should get up and testify. Oh, no, he'd be dead.
He'd be dead. But they should do that once they count the votes, then be like, by the way, there's one test that we have to do to make sure you're fit to be do a forward roll now. And they should all say no. And if they say yes, they can't be president.
Exactly. That's like a bit of a trick. But also maybe because he would die and then it would help though For the evidence to try you as the assassin, that if they had proof that his IQ was under 80. But then you could be assassinated in a bunch of different ways. And so maybe he, before he dies just now, just to be careful, records a bunch of different videos to assist in the legal case if numerous different things happen, so they're fully prepared. And then they go through the videos and he's just done one where he's like, I testify that I have an IQ lower than 80 and I attempted that forward roll because I'm an
idiot.
And then they're like, how do they have that tape?
Yeah, he would be too proud to do that, to admit.
But I think he's the kind of guy, he is proud, but every now and then he does something real funny that's kind of not self-deprecating in the same way, but like he sometimes does things like that you wouldn't expect. Obviously, what I just said is insane. Not very likely, but I feel like if he... Yeah, it's kind
because
of...
Because there's infinite examples.
That's why it would be funny for him to like have to film so many over days. It's like, you're not...
Yeah.
Get up again early. Okay, so now we're doing the one where a fly gets in your left nostril and Hillary said something that was silly and you snorted and then that kills you and you're like, oh man, is this the best use of my time? They're like, absolutely yes. It's the Democrats trying to distract him. But what would you put on the teleprompter?
I like the forward roll. I reckon I would get him to... I think I'd get him to say something positive about Joe Biden, but like maybe a kind of a retraction of... He's like, you know what, Joe's a great guy.
What if he's like, totally. Joe's a young man with his life all ahead of him?
Yeah, just a complete backflip.
And I
so you've got him forward rolling.
You've got him backflipping.
I think you'd have to...
What if he challenged Joe Biden to a backflip?
Yeah, a challenge to a duel. He's like, let's just settle this with gymnastics.
Well, I think next week he's doing some live... he's getting a doctor checking him live.
Yeah,
I feel like I saw that. I'm not sure if it's happened yet. Presumably not. Maybe by the time this is released, it will have happened. But some sort of physical challenge between the presidents.
Like
seems
broadcast.
Good. Yeah, I think on the
so
live
they're going
to
get a doctor's physical. Both
I want
of
him
them.
Down in his undies.
That is so funny.
I mean, it's pretty good. I assume it won't be
like a
weigh-in. Well, exactly. Yeah. It's like a weigh-in for the which is kind of what those doctors they both have to release
there. The Monday before, they should have a weigh-in. I don't hate it, to be honest. They should kind of do it for all political stuff. You want the healthiest
candidate. Younger people because they're so old at the moment. They just don't have, old politicians. They don't have our best interests at heart, like a society at a longer term. So it's like, don't ban old people, but just if you're going to run, you've got to fight the 45-year-old.
Well, I think they should ban old people in all seriousness. It's like if there's a minimum age to enter the political world, there should be a maximum age as well.
Totally.
Like, we can't have
well, judges in Australia, when they're 70, they have to leave.
So
70, I think on the high court. I mean, maybe not all courts. But like, okay, so where would you put it?
I would 70? Put it like, I mean... 55 to 65, maybe. Mm. 40 years ago, 50 years ago, no one lived to mid-70s is like the end of the road. You know, now it's like everyone's living
to
90.
We were talking about that golfer the other week that wants to live to 140. So it's it is relative.
Okay, well, if he gets
PM
to
or one... AM? All right.
Oh, what's that? That was complicated by the fact that PM is a political position. I was like, Soren, what have you done to my mind? This is more complicated than my fucking infinite fly thing before.
There's a golfer called Bryson DeChambeau, and he recently won the US Open, and he's really beefed up. He's doing steroids and stuff, like getting massive.
And he wants to live to 140.
And they've asked him because he's like kind of really revolutionising the game, and everyone's like, what's your main goal for golf? And he's like, no, I don't care about golf. My main goal is to live to 140.
Really?
Yeah.
You've got to have other goals if you're planning to live to 140.
Yeah, I mean...
Because there's a lot of time. There's extra time.
I think he just wants to get
to
that.
My bucket list is done.
Yeah. He's only...
a very bored 80 years ahead of me.
He's 26. By the way, so it's like even felt what it's like to get to
have
40
back pain or anything.
Yeah, when he gets to 40, he's gonna be like, oh, I've been alive for so long already. Oh man, then he's like, I've got another fucking 80 years to go.
You're gonna revise it, no,
100 years. 100. To go. Sorry,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah geez,
you're already trying to people will be like, no,
he won't get to
140. Don't try and get it down. So we have an age limit. What do you, how do you feel about like talking about like thresholds for leaders? How do you feel like about like an IQ limit?
I think that makes more sense.
A limit
than a age
being
limit.
Being smart.
Yeah, yeah.
Like too high.
Oh,
is that what you meant?
No, I meant low as well.
Oh,
I
mean,
like,
of course,
definitely
low.
But
we don't have that at the moment. I mean, Trump wouldn't do very well, you know.
I think he's a bit smart. I think he's pretty smart.
Mm. I think he
resident
wouldn't...
resident.
That's, he's just like
clever, man. He didn't come up with that.
He might be the best example
he's
of like
making
a,
memes
of a populist.
You think he made that meme?
He knows how to use Canva, man.
No, he doesn't. Got...
As if
the
he doesn't go.
Did not make that meme.
Yes, he's got meme
I
guys.
The president did not make that
he would,
meme.
He would have a meme guy, joke writers, and he's obviously got a
joke
team.
Joke writers.
But as if he is, he's going off script heaps.
Oh, totally. So that's what he's good at. I think he's like a psychopath. And he's good, though, at sensing what people want and, like, performing and, like, that vibe. Like, good with people and is, like, a charming person who says confident things. And so he's smart in that way. But, like, I think an IQ test, for example, like, where you just have to put... I've never done one, but I think it's, like,
he won't declare
little
his taxes.
Logic,
like, he's not doing
puzzles and stuff. I don't think he'd do very well.
I'm really bad at
You'd also
at
need, like, an empathy test, I think.
Yeah.
Like, oh. If you're giving people tests... For, like, to be in leadership positions, I feel like we need an age thing. We need some sort of, like, aptitude, like, to make sure you're not so stupid. So maybe we'd have the threshold quite low. But then also, yeah, maybe an empathy one. I feel like you'd need one like
But
that.
Do you think they should... I mean, they obviously need to display empathy. Empathy is one of the most important things ever. But I think too much empathy and they wouldn't be able to lead because the nature
true.
Of taking over any kind of country is that some people have
tough
to suffer
decisions.
For others. That,
yeah,
that's
true.
It, Sarin.
So we
tough
need,
decisions.
And maybe too smart is a, like a similar thing. If you're taking too many things into account, like you need to be kind of... Maybe... I don't know if there's a correlation between extremely smart people and indecisiveness, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Those yeah. Kennedys, they were smart.
Anxiety, maybe?
Yeah,
there's
totally.
Definitely some correlation. I reckon, but he yeah. Mm. So I none of these tests. I reckon. Let's just run
oh,
it by
leave
chance.
It. You reckon just leave it the way it is?
Yeah.
Damn it.
I mean,
I feel like a physical. I think it'd be pretty
physical,
good.
A they physical,
yeah. They should a weigh in, and that's it.
They should
but
do
yeah,
a 100 meter sprint.
Sure, but and then what do they have to beat?
No, they don't have to beat it. It's just whoever wins,
just have to
and then we just take
it.
That knowledge on to the voting booth.
Oh, okay. So it's
all
not the
they
only
can
determining
do
thing.
Is just enhance us with more. The more knowledge they give
yeah,
us,
totally.
Will educate us to
exactly.
vote.
And we're
properly.
Still choosing. Yeah. And yeah, we're not ruling anything out, but we know
it
the information.
It shouldn't be policy based at all because policy is too hard to get consensus. But it should be a few
like a decathlon.
Yeah, decathlon. That's
perfect.
What I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's the steeplechase? Maybe one of the ones with
yeah,
shooting
totally.
And
what's, yeah.
What's involved in decathlon?
I think decathlon has shooting. In
it's
it.
Like a high jump. They go for a run.
I think a lot. I think there's a
swim?
Bunch of athletics.
Is there a
javelin,
swim?
I reckon.
There'd be a swim. For
I think
sure.
if there's not, we're chucking one in.
And then,
Trump would petition to get golf. He's quite a handy golfer.
A bit of chess, maybe? Chess
yeah,
boxing?
Yes,
kind
yes,
of
yes. Chess bo- yep.
Boxing. So you, those so you, two in the boxing ring's not bad.
There, have you seen chess boxing? That is it's a legit.
Oh, I have yeah. actually seen that. My housemate showed me that.
Yeah.
I thought you might have been there, Tom.
Yeah, I think I chucked it on. I mentioned it as a thing. I didn't love it. I feel like they're much
it's
better at boxing
stupid.
Than
they
are chess. They
are much better at boxing than
they
yeah.
The chess is
and
just...
And the chess gets worse and worse.
They're not trying with the chess. It's all for show. They really care about the boxing.
So,
these boys.
So basically it's like you do a chess move and then after that move...
Oh, I think they play a whole game
I think
or
what
something.
Happens is when you watch chess boxing on YouTube,
yeah.
all the actual chess players have been eliminated in the earlier rounds. You know
do they
mean?
Get knocked
not
out?
They're non-televised
yeah.
versions.
Yeah. You can, it's very hard to progress in the ranks of chess boxing as a chess player.
Because the chess player would win the first one, great, get into the thing, boom, get done.
Knocked out, yeah. They don't have
all
a draw.
The fans are like, oh, I mean, it's much more fun watching the boxing element of this sport than the chess element. Could we get some people that are probably going to win the second one? Maybe we should weight that differently in terms of the rules.
You guys are big chess fans. Do you know, I was talking to...
Well, he's the first guest so far who was booked for this podcast via the chess.com app.
I'm hoping more get booked by the chess.com app.
I don't think it's possible, and I'm glad you came because it was a casual way to do it, but we have communicated.
I've been booked for Lord Gladstone's by the chess.
Oh,
as
yeah,
well.
Right.
So you
yeah,
booked
yeah, exactly.
him. I mean, Tom, what a get
it's
out of this
bad.
Medium.
I'm and waiting for lineups to come through on the
I would also like to clarify that I think so. This is going to sound like I'm making excuses because I am. So Seren is quite good at chess.
Yeah,
he's better than me.
Okay.
I've won, I think one or two games, but like head to head, he'd have me. But like close enough where I can try do something, but I often make a mistake or something.
But and, I think I've plateaued.
You plateaued.
I've been
oh,
playing
okay.
since I was a kid. I've hit at
true.
My peak.
Well,
whereas I've noticed in the time we've been playing that you keep getting better.
I have improved, but yeah, not to the point where I can beat you yet.
Like were you a prodigy?
I'm flatlining.
Frustrating.
I was a prodigy.
He's like, get me in. Get me on the app.
No, Yuzi. This isn't for you. You were a prodigy.
I was kind of a prodigy.
You played
in
school?
Primary school. level.
School chess.
And then year 7 and 8, I've sort of got self-conscious. And
it's such a funny thing because it's like the only thing where you like peak when you're 11.
Yeah, they're good. Though. Why are they good when they're younger?
I feel like the brain just, I mean, clearly the brain develops where it can like solve the puzzle, which is chess, which is looking and deciding what the next thing to do is at around like 10. And like, I don't think you actually peak. Like the best chess players keep getting better. But like you can do that pretty much as well when you're 10. Than when you're 30, I think.
And it gets to the point where you have to just study and memorize things. And that's like time consuming. So right.
And your brain's pretty...
At 10 and 11, you can devote all your time.
Well, imagine you just have a job. Well, imagine if that was the same...
Actually, the brain is about the least busy people in our society that have a brain that can do it and would do it.
Talking about limits on age in politics, imagine if we worked out that 10 to 11 was the sweet spot to lead.
Because they've got a lot of time.
They've got a lot of time. Their brain is just...
This is a TV show.
They can like... We find a country that's already not doing that well.
Yeah.
We pop a few 11-year-olds.
Serbia. We're going to send one of our kids to rule. How annoyed would they be with the West?
It's but
like,
also, okay,
we're trying out a new thing. Sometimes we try out the new cereals here and like 5G. Now we're trying out
sometimes
a 10-year-old.
Sometimes we depose dictators, sometimes we impose them.
Exactly.
This one's 11.
This one, he's kid. He's kid. You can't say he's not kid.
So funny, and if the kid wins, he just gets a cash prize. Like if he does better than he found it, like he gets 250 grand, the country gets nothing.
You win a chess tournament, you're like, yay. Hey, do I win a Toblerone like Mummy said? It's like, yes, and something else. I don't know if you're busy for the next 4 years, but Serbia is at war, and we're going to need your trusty guidance.
I had a friend that was said they ran into you the other day at the ABC.
Oh, yeah.
Out the front of the ABC, and they said you were on your phone.
You were flatlining.
You were flatlining. You're about to get fired.
True, yes.
No, you weren't, but you were at the front, and they were like, hey, Tom. How's it going? And then you said, sorry.
Very frustrating.
You said, sorry, I can't talk right now. I'm in a game of chess. Yes. And they were like, oh, okay. And thought you were joking and laughed. And then you were like, just head down playing chess. Like, and they kind of walked in.
See you later. Yeah. No, see, this is the trouble because I play a few friends like Soren, and those games are structured over longer periods. And you have 3 days to make your next move. So it's like, you know, just something to do when you have some spare time sitting on the bus. You can look and like think about it for a while. But you can also play random people. And I play a lot of like 10-minute games, so it's like timed. So you have to make
10 minutes,
relatively quick decisions. You can think for a while. But also, I've gotten to a point where I care about my rating in those games and only play them when I think, because I used to just play them to kill time, but then you'd get where you're going and I'd like be meeting you at the pub or something and I'm playing and then you get there and I'm like, like my rating's going to go down if I resign and I've got 2 minutes left in this game. But then I'd say to myself, look, I can't be the guy who's showing up to the pub and like telling you to not talk to me for 5 minutes. So I'd put it down. So then I started only playing those games more rarely when I actually had the time to focus.
Right.
And in that particular time, it was relatively recently, I got to work. I was a bit early. So I was just sitting at the front of work finishing this game. And it was an intense one as well, higher rating than me. And I was winning. And it's like, this is sick. And then someone I know shows up. And like, it also happened on a lunch break last week when I ran into our friend Jen. And with her, I cancelled it as well. I didn't tell her this. But like, legitimate frustration flows through my body when I see someone I know when this is happening. I've been like, every part of my body is like, fuck off. Like, I'm in the middle of something
so
extreme.
Deep.
I'm so deep.
Just stop doing
and
it in
public.
They can
see it in my... Well, I'm allowed to just, you know, have a fun...
I would have walked around the pub, done a few laps.
Yeah,
and not
totally.
Gone into the pub.
Are you doing these 10-minute games as well, Sven?
I go through phases. It is very addictive. You get... like, because it is timed, and it's like you're live playing with someone, and you get a rush, and it is exciting when you're about to beat someone.
And you see what country they're from,
and you can
see a little bit of their face.
Sometimes they trash talk.
Sometimes
you.
They trash talk.
Yeah, that's good. And what do they say?
Well, sometimes they say,
you're shit.
They sometimes accuse you of cheating. They're like, you're using
a
bot.
That happens a lot, yeah.
And then that's fun, because I think, first of all, I started thinking that was because it was a compliment. I'm like, oh my God, they're saying I'm using a bot. Like, what a, yeah, I'm not cheating. I'm just being me. Ooh, am I as good as a bot? But I think they're trying to like get you to argue so you run out of time.
Yeah, they're baiting you. Because then you start texting instead of
being
playing.
Like, no, I'm not.
Also, they're 11. They've got no one to text. Like, they've got so much time on 11. Their hands.
Yeah. During Corona, there was a bit of, I mean, my friend, you know, Solo started doing it and I did as well. Like, you have a few chats while you're playing to kind of distract them, but also be like, you know, How's Corona life going in Serbia? And they're like, oh, it's not good over here. Let's find out a bit about the world as you crush somebody.
Can you tell their, does it have their country on the app?
Yeah. Mm.
God, that's good.
It's not bad.
And there are a lot of Serbians.
Yeah, really? Exactly. Yeah. Serbia came to mind before for that reason.
Due to the chess situation. Exactly. Are they good at, are they known for their chess playing skills?
Oh, I feel like it's Russia.
More tennis,
and,
I think. But yeah, the Russians are big.
And they're kind of close.
Eastern Europeans are into,
exactly,
into chess.
It's,
yeah,
it's good when you get an Australian. Sport. You'll often beat an Australian.
Bad. Not a good chess nation.
A lot of Brazilians, I've noticed.
A lot of
Brazilians?
Yeah, which totally. I wouldn't have expected.
It truly is a global game.
It is. It's great. But I just wanted to clarify that when I booked, it's a bit much, but when I asked Soren to come here at this particular time, I did so via the chess.com app in our game. And if he's like me, which I assume he is, that only kind of comes up on his phone when it's his move, and it was my move. Oh. So in order to know that he would see the message, I needed to make a move. I kind of wasn't ready to, and I didn't have time to think about it as much. So I made a not good move. And then,
did it cost you?
And then I'd had to send another message back to kind of qualify where this was and the address and stuff. And I did another move, even worse move, and I know what you're going to do, and I've lost.
And the simple solution is we actually have each other's phone numbers.
Yeah, this is by no means the
give
only way.
Give him a call.
Yeah. No, but I like the
Tom
chess.
Tom just wanted excuses for losing a chess
to you. I think it doesn't hurt, yeah. I was fucked from the beginning with this one, but it's no good.
Mm, I mean, God, I'm very bad at chess. On a roadshow tour once I played heaps of people, and you could see, we were all playing just on the like big drives in Western Australia.
Mm.
And you could see your like world ranking or something. I don't know if it's the same chess app.
Sure.
That you have. I mean, I was right at the bottom.
So there's like a rating.
Yeah, is there a rating? That must be what I'm thinking of. Totally. The rating that you were speaking of. But mine was terrible.
There's a whole world of people. Oh, man. It's so fun. What happened to you? Why did you lose confidence?
Yeah, what did happen soon?
I think, no, I just, it was around like adolescence, you know?
Mm.
It just felt like a nerdy pursuit.
Yeah,
well, it is. Like, I went to a new school.
It doesn't feel like it's really nerdy.
I mean, you were correct in that.
I'm holding it in here. I think it's pathetic how you guys live your life.
But I'm envious of Tom coming to it later in life where you're
over. I mean, I played as a kid as well.
But the little trappings of adolescence don't affect. So you can be quite confidently playing in public, whereas I still have this legacy where I've got to be in like a dank corner, hidden away.
Well, I just went to a nerdy school where being a nerd wasn't looked down upon, so you don't have to have shame surrounding it, which is
I carry a lot of
more
shame.
Healthy.
Because I went to the private school where everyone's in the MCC,
Everyone's playing footy. Yeah, it's when you're watching the bloody rugby. Yeah. I mean AFL.
Yeah, exactly.
Who needs chess?
There's not a chess room at the MCC.
One of those.
It kind of would maybe work there. Maybe.
I've got to come clean. I'm actually a member of the Melbourne Chess Club. And that's,
That's also the MCC.
That's not true. That's not true.
I don't know if there might be a chess room. There's a lot of like kind of hoity-toity people.
It's the upper echelon. I'm on this podcast before I've spoken about Ben Caution's father's a member at a very exclusive golf club, and I'm trying to get him to get me in because I want to start mingling. I just hang out with scum like you guys. Well, maybe not you, Soren, because you've got some connect. But I want to get higher up.
It would
I
be
move
tricky.
Between worlds.
Yeah.
Because I gave you a sort of
entry to
that.
Because all your friends.
Do you get to bring people?
Yeah. Not to the grand final, though.
No, okay, but every now and then.
But Anzac Day, you could come. If
all their friends were wearing suits. I don't know. I don't think you were wearing. Were you wearing a suit?
No, one of your
friends were wearing a suit.
But we've escalated every year. And last year, we couldn't go this year, obviously. But last year, we made it to the dining room, which
did
is
you?
Even higher levels of elite.
Oh, how'd you get into the dining? Just from
you've
years
gotta
of putting
apply,
work in.
And yeah, you've got to have the numbers. You've got to have a mass of people so you can get a table.
Oh my lord.
And you've got to wear a suit and dress. And then it was quite a nice day.
My problem with this is that you'd be so excited because I feel like, I don't know if you're across the Jeffrey Epstein fiasco.
I am, but I don't see. I mean,
I don't see the link either at the moment between Seren going to the dining room.
Well, look, Jeffrey Epstein is a famous child sex trafficker who's rich guy, owned an island, had lots
I'm still
of big,
at sea here.
The
I
big,
don't know.
Big parties
you,
where he had.
The Clintons were at your table.
We had big, kind of, you know, famous and rich people at, like, in these kind of elite events mingling. And now he's kind of gone down for, you know, having prostitutes there and some of them were underage and it's all very awful. And there's lots of photos of these events. And there's photos with, you know, yeah, Bill Clinton, like with his arm around Epstein. I'm not sure if that actually exists, but there's certainly one with Trump. Like, and there's people shamed for any, if you're in the with a in a photo with Epstein, then you know, you'll look down upon. You're like, you're there with this like child sex trafficker guy. But I just, every time I see those photos, I'm like, if I ever got to one of these kind of hoity-toity events, I'd be getting in every photo. You'd be posing with, yeah. Excited. I'd be like, totally. Oh, this is, I'm may never get another opportunity. Robert De Niro's here. Like, I'd be jumping in.
Of course.
All of a sudden, 10 years later, some guy I'd never heard of gets done.
I'm quite nervous even today because there's a photo from 2016 of me and Taunton outside the front of the MCG.
But and now we all know what Taunton's done.
You don't know anything that I've done. It's all secret. It'll never come out. I've got deals in place to safeguard this situation.
Well, great, because that photo is out there. I think it was published in the MCC booklet.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're in.
No, I would love to get in.
That's not bad.
But you should. But you did Gorn anyway. You're doing this podcast. It's your innocent mates, these private school boys, probably working finance in Melbourne, that are going to come like crashing down when my Me Too saga comes out.
Absolutely.
Very innocent.
I just remembered as well that I think, because you mentioned how you get to be part of these kind of clubs, is you've got to register when you're quite young and your parents have to kind of have the foresight. I remember my mum like having a letter or something when I was like 6 or 7 being like, oh, it's possible for me to sign you up for the SCG or something. Is that like something you'd be interested in? Oh, and God, being like, do you like cricket really? And me being like, no. And her being like, perfect. And then chucking it in the bin.
It's almost a burden because it takes so long to get it.
Mm.
You can't, once you have it, you can't let it go because you'll never get it again.
But it's also not even about, I think from a social point of view, it's a good thing to have. Just being like, oh, I can get you a ticket to this game.
Well, it's absolutely my dream. Nothing. Because in Seinfeld, I'm learning more and more, I think, as I kind of examine myself as I get older, that I think a lot of my assumptions about adulthood were based on the TV show Seinfeld. But I love he always had Knicks tickets. He's like, do you want to go watch the Knicks? And it's like, oh, yeah, that's a fun thing to just like offer. You can give you 2 tickets and you guys can go, or I could, you know, ask
a
new mate.
MCC is not like that, though. You can't. You have to be there.
Yeah,
like you can't pass your card. Yeah, you can get people.
But you would still go.
Yeah, when I was living in Melbourne, I was going every week just because you can, and you get your money's worth.
Mm. Well, I'm a member of the Sydney Swans, and you get like bad tickets or whatever. But you can go in the ballot for the grand final. But everyone's friend here, Michael Schaefer, he's an AFL member,
and then
I would have got. Was there with us, but he's in a group of like 15 friends, these Jewish footy boys, and they're all AFL members, and they just pull their tickets together each, like, and then just put all the tickets in this group chat they've got. So there's like any game of football in the country, he's just got this group chat where he can get tickets out of.
So they're all in different clubs.
So that's the advantage of the AFL membership.
Yeah, you can go to any game.
Across the whole, any stadium, any...
Only for AFL.
Linked to the AFL rather than
God, of course.
Whereas if you're a cricket guy or whatever event is on at the
I don't know why I said of course. Because I don't even have an inkling that was the case.
Yeah, but the AFL, if you're into the football, it's a great membership to have. But all these guys have it, and then they've just all got this pool of tickets.
But are you meant to know that your kid's good, that you're going to like a sport when you're an adult? I suppose it's just a good social thing.
Yeah.
Because 7's too early, I guess. But luckily, but you just put for them me, in.
Who cares?
Exactly.
Even if they don't want it.
And it came at the age where cost 20 I was bucks able a year. To...
20 bucks a year.
No, once you get it, it would cost the fee. Oh. But being on the waiting list can't cost anything.
Yeah, the waiting list.
Oh, okay.
But the waiting list, it depends how exclusive it is. Because one of our friends, there's one friend in our group who didn't get it.
Oh.
And his grandpa had like told him that he'd been on the list.
Oh, classic thing to be like, not sure. I think we did.
And then,
we definitely did. He won't want it when he gets of age, really. Yeah, definitely on, mate.
School showing off. I'm on.
He was excited, and he would, because you'd get little updates of each intake. So it was like if you were put down in December of 1986, then you're the next intake kind of thing. And so he roughly knew when his grandpa had put him down.
Mm.
And his grandpa, I think he asked his grandpa, he's like, when was it? And his grandpa just held out and must have realised his mistake, but never. He was like, I think it was February.
His grandpa's like, I reckon 91. I'll die before he comes
out. He did.
Yes, legend.
Never got it, and he's still waiting. But we're all counting down to the intake.
Oh
God. So he only just signed up a couple of years ago.
This is ridiculous. And then over time, maybe it'll get longer and longer, and eventually, if you'll have to register the day after you're born, and then only then, the day before you die, you'll get to watch one game for 1 minute.
My goal is to live to 140, so I think I'll get to watch plenty of games.
That's dude, imagine. That's why the guy wants it. He's going to watch all this MCC. Sport.
But that's kind of what it's like when you're there. You're waiting. It's because you get in as a restricted member first, which means you only get certain
Are they judging you?
Privileges. No, you're basically just waiting for people to die.
Right.
Yeah. Because they only have a certain... They only do intakes.
Is that why they sell pies at the game? Unhealthy food?
To help.
No, but in the members, it's another world, Tom.
Is it?
It's full strength beer. It's lovely food.
Oh, my God. And here's another question. Because when I've been to the game, they sometimes do Mexican waves around the stadium, and then the members don't do the waves.
Yeah, I sit where you get booed.
Yeah, and then people go, boo, because everyone's like...
Surrender in a suit.
But we revel in that. We actually welcome them.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Do you revel?
It's because it's now, it's a thing, you know? It's a point of pride.
To be booed by the masses.
Well, because that's what they are, you know? They're the plebs.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is a fascinating
I do get it, though, because it is completely classist, and it is like... There is like, you know, all private school stuff and like high-end work stuff, all these people are. But it is still, if you just put your name on a waiting list and wait 20
That's
years,
all, yeah, yeah.
you can get in. It's just like these people had the foresight. I guess they had the privilege to think to do it. But it's like, I mean, everyone is booing them because they wish they were in the members.
That's exactly. That, yeah.
And I suppose you could argue as well that it's a bit of pantomime and fun.
Yeah, there's
and
they
need a villain, and you're happy to play the villain, even though you know that you're
like
hero. What,
they're like, sipping a full strength beer, being like, I'll be the villain. Yeah, eating a full course meal. Happy to be the villain.
Yeah, and it is literally a full course. Like, the dining room's amazing.
There's a dining room.
Yeah.
I associated
dinner rolls as well.
I'm on the fucking the seats Entrees. That like snap up, and you like get stuck in them trying to sit down. You're in a dining room.
I wonder if I could find the menu. I might be able to.
Oh my God, yeah, get it up by all means.
I'd love you to read the menu. We could wrap up on the menu. Probably.
Hang on, and you're sitting at a dining room, like in a restaurant, you kind of play. How can you see the game though? Because they're still, I've seen the members' stands, they're still sitting there in a normal...
That's the ultimate goal, is we need to reach a critical mass where we get a window table. Mm. So depending on how many people you have...
You can get the window table,
for the grand final. That would be the ultimate.
Who would you be to get... Like, you must be so powerful to get that.
Aren't the CEOs of, like, banks and stuff...
That'd be in corporate. No, that'd be in corporate boxes.
Isn't that what this is?
No. This is a dining room.
Yeah, but isn't the corporate box kind of dining?
Corporate box is like if we look at this podcast studio, probably like six of these put together.
Okay.
And there's seats in there, and then there's food
and this is like 2 by 2 meters, so it's...
And there's like a big screen, and so it's like you could have 20 people in the corporate box. Yes. And it's very nice, and they're comfier chairs.
Sure.
And you're inside, and there's a waiter and stuff like that.
Oh, my God. So
this
it's actually
a dining room,
this is like a... Yeah, but
they do gigs
room.
And stuff in here on grand final day.
So comedians, it's like a restaurant kind of thing, but with a big window.
Exactly.
So some people are closer to the window than not, and so there's only some tables next to the window.
Like going to a rock pool in the MCG.
Yeah, good Lord. See, this is
Should
the
I
thing.
Take you through the menu?
Yeah, oh, no, read the menu, because we're going to wrap up, so maybe you could close on the menu, perhaps.
I'll take you through the entree. You pick an entree, a main, and a dessert.
Ooh, okay, this is good. Yeah, we'll do the order.
So your choice of entrees...
Oh, no, you don't knock if you're a waiter, do you? No. I was trying to signify an entrance.
Can I get some water for the table?
Sure. Hello, yes, what kind of water would you like? Sparkling or even more sparkling? This is a very fancy place.
So you're...
Double sparkling for you, please?
Yeah, I'll have a double sparkling. I
want to cry when I drink it. I want it to be that sparkling that it causes me physical pain.
Okay, yes, very hearty, this sparkling water. And then extra minerals. And then for an entree, what will we have?
Well, I'm tossing up between the citrus cured Tasmanian salmon or the
you kidding me?
Charred dry aged beef fillet. If you could
Everyone is
me.
Eating a 4 and 20 pie on the other side.
Do you have any recommendations? Out of
Wait, go again. What was the salmon again?
It's a citrus cured Tasmanian salmon. I'm just not sure about the caviar pearls here.
Oh, fuck off! I'm still the waiter. Fuck off, mate. I've had it.
Get
to eat this shit.
Get the fuck out of here.
Is the brioche...
Caviar pearls? Those are the two fanciest words I've ever heard, and they're together.
Caviar pearls.
What does that even mean?
Would I be able to swap out the brioche crisp for the fried black wafers?
What the fuck? I know what the C in MCG stands for.
Do you
want
to have a look? You can choose.
Yeah. I thought you were making this up. All right, let's move to the main. Okay, what about this?
What is a caviar pearl?
No, it is just
I
like...
I assume that's just caviar.
Little... They look like little pearl things.
Yeah, they look like little pearls.
I think they're just making it... You are right. They're two fancy words put together. But
they
that
are
is
the two fanciest words in the world.
Okay, there's a grass-fed beef fillet, which I think with sweet onion jam, grilled zucchini. That sounds pretty nice.
Grilled zucchini, that's the worst one yet. What are you talking about? Just grilled zucchini.
That comes with the fillet.
No, that comes with the fillet.
Oh, good. Yeah. I was going to say, now I'm getting like, this is not good enough.
Go and eat
only 2 minutes
go
in this
Go and eat your hot dog outside.
I'm like, well, those standards have already risen.
What about the high country pork? It's a slow roasted loin. It's got a sweet potato puree. I can never say that.
Ooh.
Puree?
Puree.
Yeah, puree. I mean, that's
An apple relish and jus. Just a jus.
Oh, jus.
The farmed Queensland barramundi.
Ooh. This is all while you watch like
Asian
guys wrestle around.
And ponzu sauce.
Play a game.
There's olive crusted lamb rump. Oh, my God.
The way it usually works is before the game, you get your entree. Yes. And then at halftime, you come in for the mains.
So people are popping in and out.
Yeah. You get a mushroom gyoza. Come into the dining room.
Oh, my God. Also, they've incorporated some...
It's Asiatic influence there.
I mean, there's a lot to have here. Then we can move to the sides. We've got a spinach salad.
It's a real smorgasbord.
A roasted garlic cauliflower. And then, just a little touch to remind you that you're still one of the people, French fries.
Oh, but, you know...
Because they know the demographic. But we don't actually want the fucking black waffle crisp. We want the French fries.
I suppose, if you're feeling a bit naughty.
But we've worn a suit, you know, you got to get a suit.
You
got to
do it. And then you move. Exactly. If that's not enough, if it's still, you know, going into the last quarter.
I've got a bit of a sweet tooth.
Yeah, a bit of a sweet tooth. You're like, what about an Eton mess?
This is the only...
An Eton mess.
Eton. That's another very fan.
The fanciest private school in the world.
Yeah.
Eton mess. Passion fruit curd. Orange sorbet. Ooh. That's pretty good.
This is the only menu where when it has GF written next to it, stands for grand final.
Oh, wait, then there's a second cycle. Sorry, there's
that
a whole
That was like
nother...
chess then. I could that see
was
where
the
you...
first.
I knew the moves ahead.
That was the first menu. There's three other menus. Oh, my Lord. This goes on for four pages.
But it's a very, it's over the top. It's the food
is
actually
they're leaning
into. It's not like wedding table drop menu where it like looks fancy, but yeah, this is legit.
I would love to see that wine list.
I've got to get into AFL first, and then get into fancy food or cricket,
rugby, any of this kind of stuff.
I've never done the dining room on Boxing Day. That would be because that's a whole day. You'd be popping in and out.
Oh, God, it'd be a huge
You'd eat
day.
Three meals.
Boxing Day test that day. Oh, a day at a
I've
test match.
I've two caviars. Oh.
One of my favourite days of the year, if I go to a test match, just all day in the sun, baking, drinking beer. It's one of the most unhealthiest things you can ever do.
Especially when you... Because in the members, you got to go to the bar. They serve it in glass, so you can't take it back to your seat. But when you're in the actual grandstand...
God, I bet there's some tantrums about that.
And you know, you're doing rounds and stuff, so you could be seated if you're there with a big group for 4 hours. And you've sunk, like... any number of beers. You don't know.
You could legit have 12 beers before the lunch break.
Yeah. And you don't realize until
just
you
if you've got
up.
A group of six, like that will do it easily. Just it. In rounds and stuff. Before you know it, you've drunk so much.
Does anyone get rowdy in there, or is there kind of like quite a civilized vibe?
At the members. It gets rowdy, but it's not uncouth.
Fuck off. I reckon if there was a fight, it'd be like a Ginge Packer situation.
Exactly. So if I fell off an escalator.
More chest than boxing.
The escalator in the ponds.
No, that was in the members. I don't think he died, I think I can mention it. But he hurt himself very bad. So because you do get, it's like full strength beer.
Sure.
And it's like, it's a very bulky,
cricket days, that'd be very good.
When the Me Too movement hits the MCC.
No.
Fingers
crossed it never happens. Oh, well, that's why the SCG, they've got members and they've got the ladies stand.
Oh, hang on. So all the women sit in a different bit.
Well, I think traditionally that's what happened. Yeah. But now it's all mixed in.
Now it's not.
But that
was in a lot of cultures historically.
What, splitting up the genders?
Yeah. It's
not just cricket culture.
Yeah. Saran's defending the cricket. Just don't take my cricket away.
A lot of, yeah.
So it's not just cricket. Please don't take away. Don't do the Me Too movement.
Summer's coming up. I just really need cricket.
Exactly. Citing other cultures to stop the Me Too movement getting into the MCG.
Well, it's just that the numbers are very heavily skewed in the dining room.
As in, all there's men. More men. In,
yeah.
Still.
Oh, totally.
Mm. Doesn't that mean there's going to be less Me Too crimes?
And it's a lot of, like, wags, I would say, who are in the...
You're Rebecca Judds of the world.
Yeah, or just the wags of the people, the private school guys.
Oh, like there's not. Yeah.
I don't know many women there be a group who go of, to the yeah, footy
by themselves. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there is. I feel like the AFL is very well attended by women. Yeah,
in general.
But
definitely.
Yeah, I reckon in members. This yeah in this elite situation, you're probably right.
Well, this is the and the, it probably goes back to the fathers or mothers aren't thinking that they might like AFL in 20 years, so they're not signing them up when they're little.
Totally
boys.
Right,
it's,
yeah.
You know, the assumption it, of the parents.
It's that private school network, and they're all boys' schools. That totally. Are like, that's where my dad would have got the idea, I reckon. Mm. Either a colleague or like, no, he must have been a colleague.
Is he a cricket fan, footy fan?
He loves cricket.
Yeah.
Mm.
But he wouldn't.
Know what he likes even more? He rape.
What?
Is that a...
Sorry. you were implying there were Me Too issues at the...
Oh, I just meant...
I'll cut that out.
I mean, it's your edit, mate. You can...
It's crazy
me
that
sorry,
I...
It's like, what?
I jumped in to defend, like, gender skew
yes.
so eagerly. I was like, there's other cultures that do it, but then yeah, yeah. You just accused my dad of rape.
Oh, you were
silently.
Feeling bad about that.
Yeah.
Now you don't have to...
I need to wee so bad, so
yeah,
if we
yeah,
could
no
wrap
worries.
It up.
I'll just end on the
maybe
way
before.
Just trying to reference something that you guys are talking about.
Actually, please leave it. Leave all this in.
Oh, Lord. Oh, well, God, yeah. thanks for coming. It's
thanks
good to
for
round
it. No,
out
it was a
the...
lot of fun.
We started with how we met, and today's the last time we'll ever...
Play!